One of the pastors here. If you're visiting, thank you for visiting. Appreciate it. We are in a series through the book of Hebrews. We're coming close to the end of it. We're going to ask God to help. I'm going to pray from Psalm 19, which I was reading this morning. Pray that for us this morning. So would you bow your heads with me? Father, your law is perfect. We pray that you would use it to revive our souls. Lord, your testimony is pure and sure. Would you use it to make simple people like us, foolish people like us, wise? Lord, your precepts are right. Would you use them to bring rejoicing to our hearts? Your commandments are pure. Would you use them to enlighten our eyes? Lord, we are dirty, but the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Lord, your rules are righteous and true altogether. Help us to rely on your word and not on other opinions. Lord, help us to desire your word more than gold. Help us to taste that it is sweeter than honey. Lord, thank you for warning your servants. Help us to believe that there is a great reward. And now, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Real estate prices are on the rise. Wouldn't it be nice if somebody just gave you a house, if you just came into a house? Well, that's what happened to a man a few years ago in Evreux, Normandy, France. He inherited a house, and probably like you and me, a lot of us would like that house, finally a place to call our own, probably a place to remodel according to our own whims. And this man comes into this home, and he'd probably come into this home several times, and then one day he found something under a piece of furniture that he'd inherited. It was a little tin box, and he pried it open, wondering, what is this? And he opened it up, and in it, he found gold coins. And he started to think about this house that he had come into, and he thought, maybe there's more to this house than it seems. Just what sort of home had this man come into? And according to his local newspaper, he began a quest. Next, he found a box, a whiskey bottle box, and then he found gold ingots. Now, just what sort of house was this? And he continued to search around, and in the end, he found 220 pounds of gold in the form of coins, ingots, and bars. He's able to sell them for $4.1 million. This man came into a new house, but he didn't really know where he had come to. The Hebrews, who the original audience here, had come to Christ, and they weren't really clear on just who they had come to, what sort of blessing could be found in there. They've probably tasted a little bit of blessing. Maybe they just pictured Jesus as a roof over their heads to shelter them in some way, but they didn't know that there's gold inside. There's much more to coming to Christ than meets the eye. And so this text from Hebrews 12, that's the basically what the author is presenting to us, helping us see the gold that is in this house that is becoming a Christian, being united to Christ by faith. And he's using Old Testament pictures to keep these people tempted to go back to Judaism in the clear and powerful hands of God the Father. So he's really saying with Old Testament language, you've come to Mount Zion, which I'll explain, don't go back. So you've come to Mount Zion, don't go back. So the Hebrews, these people are tempted to go back to Judaism. They're tempted to go back to achieving a righteousness through some sort of obedience, through law keeping. And see, the law is summarized in the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments, if you read Exodus 19 through 20 in the book of Deuteronomy, they were delivered this place just north of the Red Sea. Kind of, if you look at the Red Sea, it always looks like a man holding two peace fingers to me. There's a mountain right in the middle there called Mount Sinai. And that was where God came down and delivered the law to Moses. So what the question is, though, is there another mountain besides Sinai that might be important? And the answer is, there's Mount Zion. So maybe you today aren't probably tempted to become a Jew. You're probably not tempted to go back to Judaism, to go back to Mount Sinai that way. But if you're tempted to trust in your goodness or your intelligence or how you're better than the people around you, or maybe your level of inclusiveness or tolerance, whatever that might mean, or maybe it's your contributions to society, all those things, every single one of them means you want to go back to Mount Sinai. You don't want to go to Mount Sinai. So what we're going to see is that we could have come to Mount Sinai. We could have come to Mount Sinai when we came to Christ. If you've been to Portland on a clear day, you know that you can see multiple volcanoes in different directions. You can look to the north and see Mount St. Helens. You can look to the east and see Mount Hood. Mount Hood, let's imagine you're there in 1980 in Portland. Mount Hood, you look to the east and you see the clouds clear and you see the snow-capped peak. It's beautiful. You know that over there, there's two ski resorts. You know that over there, there's wineries and orchards. You know that just down the mountain in Hood River, you can go windsurfing, hit the shops and find restaurants, hotels. Or maybe in 1980, you could look north. You could look at Mount St. Helens. And in 1980, Mount St. Helens, what you saw there was total devastation and terror, a terrified, gray, mangled mess of ash, mud, death, covering 57 bodies and countless bodies of animals. And in 1980, you would wonder, is it going to blow again? Well, see, coming to Mount St. Helens doesn't seem very desirable, but that's what it's like if we come to Mount Sinai. If you want to go to Mount Sinai, if we come to Mount Sinai, you're going to see and hear terrifying things. You're going to see first terrifying things. If we come to Mount Sinai, you could be seeing terrifying things. Look down with me at verses 18, and then we'll skip down to verse 21. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest. Then verse 21. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. When we look at Mount Sinai, where the law was given, we see something terrible. When God shows up in power, we see fire that licks and burns whatever it's going to touch. We see darkness and gloom that we can't penetrate. No light can make it through. That's what we see at Mount Sinai. Just blackness that leaves you lost and hopeless. You see a tempest, a storm that breaks trees, sends boulders crashing down mountains, that knocks people off their feet. So terrifying are these sights that even Moses, the man who God spoke to as a man speaks to his friend, the man who many people think is the most important person in the Old Testament, is trembling with fear, trying to catch his breath, expecting probably to die. If you come to Mount Sinai, you're going to see terrifying things. But there's also things that could be heard. So if you come to Mount Sinai, you'll also be hearing terrifying words. You could be, if you come to Mount Sinai, hearing terrifying words. Look down at verses 19 through 20. And the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. When God came down to Mount Sinai, there was basically a boundary that God put up around it and essentially said, don't come near here. Don't touch it. This is a holy place. And then they hear voices coming from above them. And they did not like what they heard. They heard the voice of God, and it sounds like a trumpet. And this is not Chuck Mangione playing "It Feels So Good." In that, this context, usually a trumpet meant war. Means don't touch the mountain. Don't come near. If even beasts, see, if even animals like cows or goats that don't sin would be killed, would have rocks thrown at them till they died, what would happen to sinful people if they touched it? You don't want to touch the mountain. If you come to Mount Sinai, you're going to hear terrifying things. If you try to come to God by the means of Mount Sinai, of obeying the law, you're going to hear and see terrifying things. You're coming to a terrible place. And the whole picture is meant to say, if you go back to the old covenant, if you go back to trying to please God by keeping feast days, of just eating certain foods, of thinking you're better than those other people around you and the cultures around you, what you find is danger. What you realize is that your sin is an obstacle and that you are incapable, you are unable to draw near to God. All you hear are terrifying words of judgment and death. I want that to sink in a little bit for us today because, frankly, a lot of churches, a lot of pastors would skip over these sort of truths. Some of us tend to think of God as a big, huggable teddy bear or a father who ignores us until we need him to open his wallet to us. Or maybe an acquaintance that we keep at arm's length. Or maybe he's just an idea out there that we like to philosophize about. But we don't really engage him as a person. And others of us, we think, if only I could see God, if only God would speak to me, then I would believe. Then I would believe. If you think that way, the people that were at Mount Sinai, they got what you asked for. You don't want what you asked for. What it results in is terrible sights and terrible sounds, a sense of judgment, a sense of Mount St. Helens exploding while you're on it. So that's one mountain. You could have come to Mount Sinai, but we're going to see that there's another mountain that we could be looking at. Just as we could look at Mount St. Helens, and then we can look at Mount Hood. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at the beautiful mountain, the Mount Hood, the Mount Zion. And that's what the author is trying to have us do today, and he does it to bring us joy. He wants to clear away the clouds so that we can see what we've got. So you could have come to Mount Sinai, but instead you've come to Mount Zion. You've come to Mount Zion. That's our second point if you're writing these things down. Instead, you've come to Mount Zion. These Hebrews have left the old covenant behind. They've left it behind. And they've come to a new covenant instituted by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's where they've come. And God wants us to see what we've got in this new covenant. He wants us to see that there's more than a house here. There's much more that meets the eye. There's gold here. We just need to search for it. We need to look for it. And so I need some people who are really good at looking for things. Little people who are able to fit into tight spots. So I'm going to need your help, kids. Let's say if your age is 10 and under. You're a very important part of this church. So I need you to help me today. I'm going to ask you to ask me a question. We don't know what we've got, kids. We don't know what we've got. So we need to make sure you don't let us leave until I answer that question. I want you to ask this question. I'm going to use the proper English here because there's a couple people with advanced degrees in English, and I don't want to be blamed for their children's poor grammar. The question is this. So kids, listen. To where have we come? to where have we come? Okay, I want you to practice. The question, kids, is, say it. To where have we come? Okay, you got to get better than that. Keep going. Okay, first question. To where have we come? Answer number one. To the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Look at verse 22 with me. But you have come to Mount Zion and or even to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Do you sense that you need a home? If you come to Christ, when you come to Mount Zion, you come to the city of the living God. Mount Zion in the Old Testament was the place where God's temple was built. And when Solomon finished building the temple, God's presence visibly came down. And what was significant about Mount Zion that's different than Mount Sinai is that at Mount Zion, you could approach God. There's a sacrificial system. Priests were involved. High priests were involved. But God was approachable. And over time, Mount Zion became basically swallowed up almost like a suburb of Jerusalem. So there's a heavenly Jerusalem here. So it's basically the same thing. When you talk about Mount Zion, you're talking about Jerusalem. That's what's happening here. And this isn't, though, when you come to Mount Zion, you come to this city. He's not actually talking about a city just east of the Mediterranean. He's talking about a heavenly city, a spiritual Jerusalem, a heavenly Jerusalem that in the book of Revelation says will come down and be part of this physical earth in heaven, in a new creation, a new perfect earth. All right, what's our question, kids? To where have we come? Good job. To where have we come? To innumerable angels in festal gathering. Verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion, even to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering. Regardless of cultures, we all love fairy tales. We all have this desire to connect with something mysterious and supernatural because God made us that way. Because there are angels, and there's angels that most of the time are invisible. We can't see them. But when you come to Mount Zion, you come to an assembly of angels. You meet part of that need to commune with the supernatural. And it's not just a few angels. It's innumerable. It's thousands. They're uncountable. And there's this word, festal gathering. Means this is a party. This is a reason to be joyful. You don't come to the angels and they're not droopily playing on harps as people draw them up to be doing. These angels are basically having a party, rejoicing that they're in God's presence. When we come to Mount Zion, we get the opposite of Mount Sinai. Instead of doom and gloom and darkness, we get light and joy and dancing. So when we come to Mount Zion, we come to the city of the living God, and we come to innumerable angels. All right, kids, what's our question? To where have we come? To the assembly of the firstborn. To the assembly of the firstborn. Look with me at verses 22 through 23. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering. And to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. Do you feel like you're missing your family? This says here, just as I mentioned last week, that when you come to Mount Zion, when you come to Jesus Christ, you become a son of God. And that language of son means an inheritance. Everybody in heaven is the firstborn son. That means you get to carry the status of being God's child. You get a title of honor. And that word assembly there, that's the word church. It's translated church everywhere else. Ekklesia is the Greek word. So coming to church is not meant to be a drag. It means coming to where your family is, to the assembly of the firstborn. And they're enrolled in heaven. Enrolled in heaven. That's where every child of God is going to be, in heaven, with them. So you've come to Mount Zion, which means you've come to the city of the living God, means you've come to some sort of angelic party that's full of celebration, and you've come to the assembly of the firstborn. But we've only just begun to find the gold. We've got to keep looking here. There's still pieces under the furniture and around the house. There's even greater things. All right, kids, what's our question? To where have we come? Good job, Isla, I'm proud of you. But you have come, to where have we come? To God the judge. Come to God the judge. But you've come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels and festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all. Do you want justice? Our whole culture wants justice, it seems. You can come to God, the judge. And it's one thing to come to Buckingham Palace. It's another thing to meet the queen. It's one thing to come to the city of the living God. It's another thing to meet God himself. But that's what you get when you come to Mount Zion. You meet God, the judge. But that, if we're honest, is a little terrifying. Most of the time, we would rather avoid judges, especially when we know we're guilty. But what if you knew that this judge would bring perfect justice? What if you knew that this judge loved you? What if you knew that this judge would declare you innocent? What if you came to this judge and knew that every evil deed would be properly punished? What if you knew that this judge would make sure every wrong done to you would be made right? You'd want to come to this judge. And that's the judge we find at Mount Zion, God himself. We get to meet God himself when we come to Mount Zion. When we come to Mount Zion, we meet God, the judge. So we've had four questions answered. So that question answered four times. Still got a few more to go. Okay, kids, what's the question? Good job, good. To where have we come? To the spirits of the righteous made perfect. To the spirits of the righteous made perfect. Look down at verses 22 through 23 again. Let's not get tired of hearing and looking at the gold that's found here. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. Some of us are worried about God, meeting God the judge. Some of us feel dirty. But what's amazing is when you come to Mount Zion, your spirit is made perfect. It's made righteous. See, these Hebrews are probably tempted to go back to Judaism, going back to these heroes of the faith we read about in Hebrews 11. And they've got all this history they're tempted to go back to. And they're thinking about going back to the physical Mount Zion and leaving Jesus behind. But the author here is saying, no, when you come to Jesus, you come to the real Mount Zion. You come to the one who all those great saints in the past were trusting in, whether they saw it as clearly as we do or not. We see people that were clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And they were righteous on earth because they were trusting in Jesus, and they lived holy lives, as we talked about last week, for God's glory. But now God says these people have been made perfect. Their spirits have been made perfect. Every aspect of our lives is troubled by our lack of perfection. And here we're saying these people have been made perfect. This is what we come to. And it does say spirits. Those who have died in Christ, they haven't received their resurrection bodies yet. That's coming when Jesus returns. But for now, they're in God's presence, which is a place of fullness of joy. And there's no more sin that they're experiencing. And that's where we will come to. And that's where we come when we come to Mount Zion. We come to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. So we've come to our new house, but still there's gold hidden. Got to ask that question again, kids. What's the question? To where have we come? To Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. To Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. Look at verse 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. The Hebrews wanted to go back to Judaism. And they're thinking about going to Jerusalem again, where Mount Zion is. And they thought, again, that when they came to Jesus, they left Mount Zion behind. But that's not the truth. They've come to this true spiritual one. We've come to the one, when we come to the real Mount Zion, we've come to Jesus, the one who loves our souls. We've come to Jesus, the one who became poor so we could be rich in heaven. When we come to Jesus, we come to the one who engaged in spiritual warfare that we might have peace. And we see here that Jesus is a mediator. He's a go-between. He's the one who secures this new covenant. And what we learn about the new covenant is that means there's new hearts that actually want to please God, that can actually know God, that ensure that we finish well. When we come to Mount Zion, we've come to Jesus himself, which means that you're accepted. It means that you can have a relationship with God. Do you wish you could have a relationship with God? You can. We've come to Jesus himself, truly God and truly man, the Son of God, eternal, the second person of the Trinity, the man crucified under Pontius Pilate, raised from the dead and seen by hundreds. That's who we come, the mediator of a new covenant. We come to Mount Zion. We've come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. So we've come to Mount Zion, which means we've come to the city of the living God. We've come to this party of innumerable angels. We've come to the assembly of the firstborn. We've come to God, the judge. We've come to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. And we've come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. But there's still more gold to be found. Okay, kids, you've done great. One last time, what's our question? To where have we come? Good job. Good job, Miles. To the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word. To the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word. Let's read their text one last time. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. At Mount Zion, Mount Sinai, words were heard. Touch this mountain and you die. But we hear different words here. See, in Genesis chapter 4, the first murder occurs. Cain kills his brother Abel, sheds blood, and God says, I can hear the cry of your brother's blood coming up from the ground. Abel's blood calling out for justice, calling out for punishment of the wicked. And here we see that Jesus' blood calls out for something better, speaks a better word. Instead of justice, which we should all fear as sinners, speaks of forgiveness. Instead of punishment, speaks of salvation. Instead of dirt and grime, speaks of cleansing and hope. So the question really for all of us is, which mountain will you find God at today? See, it's the same God at both mountains. Don't separate the Old Testament from the New Testament in that way. The God of Sinai is the God of Zion. But if you come to Mount Sinai, what you get is terror. What you get is darkness and danger and wrath and war and death. And not just in this life, but in the life to come. There's actually hell on the line. And if Jesus, who loves you, spoke often and warned of hell, if I'm going to love you, I better do the same. You would fear, and I know this seems harsh, you would fear being in the presence of a grizzly bear or a tsunami or a hurricane. How much more should we fear being in the presence of the God who created those things? So if I love you, I want you to picture yourself in a valley with Mount Sinai on one side and Mount Zion on the other. And Mount Sinai is this boiling, volcanic expression of God's wrath. Turn the other direction and come to Mount Zion today. Come to Mount Zion. Come to Jesus. That's where Jesus is. He's at Mount Zion. He's the one who brings us there, in fact. We wouldn't be able to get to Mount Zion if Jesus didn't bring us there. He endured the wrath of Sinai so that we could get Zion. He's instituted a covenant that means you'll be forgiven and welcomed and accepted. He went to the cross. From the cross, his blood dripped to the ground like Abel's. Why? So you could be forgiven. And it speaks from the ground of forgiveness. Do you ever wonder, I want to pray. I want to know how to speak to God. But I'm worried I'll make a mistake, so I better not. You don't need to be afraid. Jesus' blood speaks for you. It speaks a better word. So go boldly into God's presence. So Christians, our application today is really this simple. Look at the gold you have. Spend some time engaging your imaginations under the authority of Scripture and looking at what God is telling you today, what you have in Christ. And the more we do, the more we climb Mount Zion, the less tempted we will be to go back to something else, which is what the Hebrews were tempted to do. Look at the gold in this house. Look at its beauty. Think about it. Think about being a Mount Hood and the joy that comes there. Savor to where you've come. You've come to Mount Zion, don't go back. But honestly, really, a lot of us, if we think about it, it doesn't feel like we're at Mount Zion, does it? If we really come to Mount Zion, well, know that this is real. You really have come here. Our salvation is we already have come to Mount Zion, but it's also a not yet reality. We haven't fully come into it. There was once an unbreakable wall between the future and the present. When Jesus came, he bore a hole through that wall. And he's been chipping away at it, clawing away at it. And as we exercise faith, that hole starts to get bigger. And more of the future seems to pour through and we experience it in the present. But we can't see everything yet. But we can exercise faith here. We can see some of these truths now. And one day soon, Jesus is going to return and that whole wall is going to fall down flat. And the future will become the present. And we'll fully experience these blessings that come Mount Zion. So keep marching up the mountain. Especially when you feel the desire to turn back, keep going. Keep going up Mount Zion. See, throughout history, people have always thought that mountains were the place where the divine, where the gods lived. I mean, the Greeks thought it was Mount Olympus. If you go to the Himalayas, a lot of the Buddhists are really pantheists. They think the gods live up in the mountains. A lot of people in the Northwest love to hike, love to climb mountains, love to be mountaineers. None of those things are sins. But lots of times they go out there to worship creation, to worship their God. But here we're told that the real God doesn't live on a physical mountain. He lives in a spiritual mountain. Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. That's where we find him. So don't go anywhere else. Don't go back. You've come to Mount Zion. You've come to a house full of gold. You've come to Mount Zion. Let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful for your word. We're thankful for these truths. Would you help us to believe it? Would you help us to feel it? Would you help us to experience the joy that means we've come to Mount Zion? Do you help us to see the gold we have? Would you help us to see how it is far more appealing than anything else we could seek, whether it be wealth or fame or pleasure or whatever? Lord, we're thankful for this word. We pray that you would help us to apply it, help us to obey it. In Jesus' name, amen.